Praise God. Thank you for your questions. And as I said, we are starting a new study today, and it's a blessing. I think it's always good to refresh our minds with the importance of the word, of how important the word is. And sometimes I think it's important also for us to know this, because we tend to distort what the Bible really is. I'm seeing more videos and more people coming out, and they're saying, oh, you know, the man has messed up the Bible. There's books missing from the Bible. Things are so distorted. And the more I hear them talk, we almost kind of take God and we shrink him down into some meaningless, like he was just another man, and a whole bunch of other men messed up what this man did, and now we're all confused. And it's really deceiving to us. But in the same breath, we talk about God as if we know he's the awesome, almighty God. And in those cases, I think we tend to miss out on the power of this word. The other thing that's happening right now is we're being surrounded with conspiracies and certain things that are going on. And here's the deal. I'm not saying they're wrong. The problem that causes the wrong in a lot of these things that come out is they then present you with things to do or not to do. And unfortunately, more and more Christians fall for it. And what do I mean by that? More and more Christians you see are doing extra, and they call it as their protection. I'm going to do this to protect myself. I'm going to do this so this won't happen to me. While we've always had the exact same protection, you understand that the word has been consistent in his protection. It's almost like, let's say my directions were 100% right. Let's say they're 100% right always. And I said, okay, in order to get to this place, you got to make two rights and a left. Now, all of a sudden, you heard there was an accident on the road. And you come back and say, what do I do now? And I said, same thing, two rights and a left. You understand? That's it. Nothing's changed. And then you heard rumor that there's a shortcut to get there. But you come back to me and I go, there's two rights and a left. And you see, we keep allowing life to change, and our sight sees all this other stuff. And then we go, okay, God, I know your word says this, but now what do I do about this? And he's like, two rights and a left. He's trying to explain to us, my word hasn't changed. Whatever thing is happening in the world, whatever is new, he's the almighty God. He knows he's the beginning and the end. So his word gives us the protection that protects us from anything that's going to come at us as long as we stay in that protection. So let's understand and really get a reverence for this word. Now, the name of this is Word Worth More Than Gold. And I made that title for the purpose of us realizing how valuable this is. It's so important for us to understand how valuable it is that we dedicate our time to it. And not just in a feel good, another read book that you read time, or just so you can say you read it, but an understanding of I got access to the most ultimate power out there in this book, in the Bible. Now, the Bible, let's make some things clear first, is from God and is what is to be used for all ministry. Now, today you see some people curving towards other books, other ideologies, other doctrines, and stuff like that. And we're listening to it, and it sounds good instead of clearly from the Word of God. You can even hear on the radio, you get some ministers, and times when they're on point is when they're clearly from the Word. And not just from the Word, it's going to be a word we're going to talk about in this, but when they're clearly in the Word. But you know when they're off base is when they're talking about some other topic and there's no biblical basis for it. That's when you're in danger, when you start following that stuff. It shows in 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17, it starts off saying all scripture is God breathed. Now, sometimes I'll hear a minister start off and go, well, Paul, when he wrote this, you know, it was because he was watching this and he was paying close attention and he took his wisdom and he wrote down. No, no, no. What this is letting us understand is it came from God. It goes on and lets us know, and we're going to see that even further. But when he says it's all from God and the purpose God gave it to us, it says, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training, watch this, in righteousness. So the Bible was what I'm supposed to use in my teaching, not just in the church as a pastor, but as a father, as a friend, as a husband, as a brother, whatever case I am. All my teaching has to come from the word. When I'm outside of it, then I'm not doing what God said. Rebuking. when I'm correcting somebody, not only does it, and this is correcting somebody that knows better. Rebuking is correcting somebody that knows better. Always remember that. That's why correction is correcting somebody that may not, they've been misled or they don't know better. That's the difference between the two words. So when I rebuke somebody, the Bible tells me how to rebuke, as well as when to rebuke or what to rebuke. How do I know when something's wrong unless I have this word from God? Same thing with correction, same thing. The difference is going to be the correction person is a person who didn't realize that they sincerely in God thought they were going in the right way, but you still now have this word to correct. We don't do that as much today. And then it says training. Training is such an important part because training, unlike teaching, teaching is what I'm doing right now. I'm giving you and I'm explaining the word to you. Praise God. Okay. But training is now we're going to put it into practice. Do you understand that? Training, and that's why it says train up a child the way they should go. See, a lot of us may teach, but then our lifestyles in them isn't the same. You understand that? I can't just teach them a few verses out the Bible, but they see more of my importance come with my job. They see me doing stuff around the house that's not in the Bible. They see how I treat my finances and my family, and it's not based on God. And when they see my actions or how I raise them is not based on what the word says, then I'm not training. And this is why righteousness goes all over the place, because we now have the manual, the book, the instruction book, the map on how to do this. Are we using it? And he makes clear in verse 17, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for what? Every good work. We're lacking today because we kind of pick and choose out the Bible. You understand that? You know, I mean, it's like somebody who says, well, I don't like the thing in my salad, so I'm just going to pick everything else out and only eat the lettuce. And there's a reason why God made the salad with all the stuff in it. All the stuff plays a part. You know what I mean? The nutritionist will tell you, you got to have the leafy stuff to do one thing, this other stuff to do another thing, so on and so forth. I'm not a nutritionist, but it's the same thing. All of them play a part. And it's nice that you're eating one, but you're missing a whole lot, and they work together. So he's saying all of this works together to make us thoroughly equipped. We're lacking it because we lack it. Now, as he showed, and as I was saying earlier, the only author of the Bible is God. So no, I know Peter may have written it down. I know Paul may have written it down. Moses may have written it down. All of them may have written it down, but just like we've seen with the Ten Commandments, God gave it. They just wrote it. And I told you, I work in a hospital, and now that they do it electronically, they used to have transcriptionists. And the transcriptionists, their job was to listen to exactly what the doctor said and write down or type exactly what the doctor said. Then they had to send it back to the doctor. He had to read over to make sure he's saying, yep, that's exactly what I said. And he answered that by signing off. So all the transcriptionist had to do was just type out what he said. So the author of that was the doctor. The one who would be hit with lawsuit or the one who gets credit for it or the one who's telling you your diagnosis isn't the transcriptionist. And the same thing with these people who wrote the Bible. And we got to be careful not to give them credit. And that's where dispensations, when people start talking about, well, the Paul dispensation and this and that, there are different dispensations. And what that means is different time or eras in that time. And people have distorted that to make people think, well, we're in this group now and we're not in this group. So you can ignore this group. Please don't get caught up in that. It gets confusing. And it's not based on what the Bible is saying. If the whole Bible is from God, you'll get an understanding from Genesis to Revelations, he knew what he was doing in all the writings that he put out there. And that's why it says in 2 Peter 1, 20 through 21, he says, above all, you must understand. I probably should have highlighted that. He says, above all, you must understand. Now, why is he saying above? Because if you don't understand this, you'll do what we're doing today. Right now, what we are doing is we keep putting emphasis on, well, how do I know I can trust the Bible when so many people have touched it? How do I know these books are missing? And we get all this other stuff, and I know it gets confusing, but he says, you got to understand, this is not a man-made written book. This is not some obsolete ancient book that's outdated. It's not. It says, no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. That's very important also. In other words, it wasn't somebody who looked at it and said, well, this is what I think. I heard somebody even say something foolish, and I say it's foolish because the Bible shows us this, is where somebody made the foolish command thing of the Gospels were four different interpretations of what they seen of Christ. No, it's not. four different interpretations of what each writer seen in Christ. All four came from God, and God gave it to us from different godly viewpoints. So we can see the same thing from different angles. That's it. It's the exact same thing we're looking at, but he gave it to us from different angles for different purposes to give us the fullness of Christ in that. So it's very important that we have and we grasp that. Okay, but that's why he says it's not based on the prophet's own interpretations. I don't care, and that's why I always tell people, please be careful with some of the things that you watch on TV. I think there's a series on called The Chosen that some are watching, and it's entertaining. I only watched one series, and entertaining. You can leave it at that. The danger in it is like any other TV show, especially when they try to do it to represent a time in the Bible. They got to fill in stuff. And that's where it becomes dangerous, because in that filling in, you tend to add to what God is already saying, and that can distort it. That's why I say it's kind of dangerous sometimes when they make some of these series and they add, even when it's just adding with a picture, that picture can really add distortion. I think people meant well when they drew the pictures and they thought they were drawing them of Jesus, and it's really caused a lot of distortion and confusion to a lot of people. So in the same way, you got to understand it's not of that person's interpretation. So no longer do we give credit to that person, if that makes sense. And that's why he says in verse 21, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God, and they were carried as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. What does he mean? He was like, it was never a man-made written thing based on man's vision. Do you get this? Okay. So it's not like somebody wrote the Old Testament up to a point and they say, okay, we messed up. And this is where if I'm not strong or I don't know the word, I'll say stuff like the Old Testament God was a wrathful God, but the New Testament God was a loving God. It's the same God, exact same God. But you got to be in the word and you got to go through the word in the right way to understand how the process works. And the word is what explains that. I am no genius by far. I have no expert intelligence. In fact, I am very easily confused. The difference is when I finally totally dedicated my time to God's word, clarity came. When I got to remove Keith and Keith's understanding and what Keith felt and how Keith seen it and just took what he said, clarity happened. And that's what God wants. That's why he even gives us my grace is sufficient. He was like, what makes us so weak is we keep adding to this thing that we already have. This is the most powerful you can ever have. We keep weakening it, thinking we're making it stronger. So the author is only God. So always remember that. And remember, you've always had the answer, no matter what you see change in the world. So I don't care if some weird thing happens tomorrow, spaceship show, whatever. We have the instructions we need for our protection and our guidance and our path on the way. Now, the Bible is more than a book. It is a living document. A lot of times, I know we want a cloud to open and we want to hear God talk to us. When we don't realize, we can open the book and we hear, see, feel God talking to us. See, this breaks it down. When it says in Hebrews 4, 12 through 13, for the word of God is living and active. So it's not only is it living as a human, because remember John 1, as I have down there at the bottom of this passage here, it says in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He is God. This is Christ. When you pick up that Bible, you're talking to Christ. That's why sometimes when we pray or we ask for something, he's already answered it. If you were talking to him, that's where a big part of our relationship is studying to know that word. It is a relationship with him to understand that. And that's why it says it's living and active. As you apply what he says, that's the word, it does something. It's like taking a medication. After you take it, it does something. And that's what it's saying. This word, it really works things. And watch what he says. He's making very clear, sharper than any double-edged sword. And double-edged, once again, it'll cut us when we need to be punished, and it'll cut us when we need to be fixed. Okay, so it cuts both ways. This book has everything to fix and has everything to tear down when needed in the right way. And it covers every aspect of us. That's why it says it penetrates even to, watch this, dividing soul. That's what we are. Remember, we are a soul, spirit. We all have a spirit, and we're supposed to be spiritual. And this last part, he really broke down the flesh. And why was that so necessary? Because the flesh comes in so many different forms. Sometimes we don't realize, we just think it's our skin and bones. But the flesh is our joints and marrow, which is our skin and bones and, you know, the body and stuff we see. So it can cut through that, of how it decays and how we're not supposed to put so much emphasis in it, how we're not supposed to lean upon it. And it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So it also just goes after what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, my purpose. You understand that? So this Bible will put me straight in where I'm supposed to be. Do you understand that? All right. That's why you always hear me say, you're going to have feelings. So it doesn't matter what you feel. The Bible will tell you what you need to be. Remember, there's a verse, a couple of verses that'll say be joyful. Now, sometimes we're sitting there going, but I feel depressed. Which one are you going to choose? Now, if I choose what the flesh says, I'm going to be depressed and I'm already ignoring God and I'm not listening to the Bible and I'm outside of his protection. However, despite how I feel, if I am going to be joyful, you see how this works, then it's going to be a thing that's going to defeat the depression. The feeling may still be there, but the effect becomes less, less, and less, and you will not be depressed. And he makes this clear. That's why he says in verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. So I don't care what is to come. There's nothing out there that's going to be so, oh man, I didn't see that coming. God already seen it. He created this world. And it's saying this word is his, and he gave you everything to be in the right place. So whatever's in there will not affect you in a bad way. It says everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him who we must give an account. That's huge. So you can't say, hey God, the church was doing what you're supposed to until this happened. If the church slips because of something happening, that means the church wasn't following the Bible. Think about that. If I, as a Christian, mess up because something in my life happened, it's once again because I wasn't following the Bible. In fact, a lot of times we allow Satan to set us up while things are kind of skating and moving well, and then something will happen to somebody in our family. Somebody will turn up a certain way. Somebody will act a certain way. An incident will happen in our lives. We'll get more money. We'll get less money. A health problem. Whatever will happen, and then we change. Why? Because we really weren't following what his word said. You understand that? Okay. If I made my roof out of paper mache and I get a leak, that's my fault. Why would I make it out of a material that's not going to hold rain? You get this? So if my life is not really embedded in this word, I'm going to feel it eventually. Maybe not now, but it'll come back and it'll bite me. And this is why it's so important for us to recognize this is, you have access to Christ. All of us have full access to Christ, to talk to him and to receive the answer from him, as long as you get you out of it. That in turn leads to the purpose of the church. And the church must do all of this, what you're seeing right here, based on the word. I always told people, everything else that a church come with, if it doesn't fit Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, the rest of it's worthless. Rest of it's worthless. I mean, the building, the people that are in there, the seating, how it makes you feel. I can go down the list of all the stuff. If it doesn't fit this coming from the word, then we're in trouble. Okay. And this is what we all should, as a church, should build ourselves on. He shows us that the Bible is what is used to prepare the body of Christ. So not just you as an individual, but us as a body, to be one in faith and in relationship with Christ. You understand? I can't just have a relationship with Christ because I don't understand what relationship is, but the Bible shows me. You understand this? I don't know what it means to be at one with you and you be at one with me as we're at one with Christ until Christ shows us what that means. And this is important. That's why he shows in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, he says, it was he who gave some. So he's showing you the structure of church service and the history of it and the foundation of it. He's saying he's the one who created this. God's created. He says to be apostles for some. He says he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. So the word shows us the purpose of each of them. Like I said, the apostles went from Christ to lay the foundation. And that foundation is Christ. They laid the foundation of Christ. And everybody else is supposed to build on that foundation. Remember when Paul said that? The first thing you make sure is that the foundation you're building on is Christ. That's why we can call some of these others cults immediately, because if that foundation isn't based on who Christ is, and we're talking about God, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the whole foundation of the Bible, everything else they say, you got to get rid of. don't get charmed by something else they do and the money they make and whatever else they're dealing with. It has to first have the foundation of Christ. And then that's what the apostles laid. Then the prophets, where the New Testament came in, once again, were led by God to give what God said to add to the Bible and for the things to come. So we get the prophets, and the prophets laid that foundation. And then some of the evangelists start spreading it, because evangelist is to spread the word. Okay, you're spreading the word. And that's why a person can't really be a pastor and an evangelist, because the pastor is meant to stay at that one planted area. He has a flock that he's supposed to be a shepherd of. That's what a pastor is, a shepherd. While an evangelist travels and they plant churches or areas. So they're the ones that travel. You can't really be both. I know some people like to have both titles, but you really can't, because then you're going to neglect one or the other. Either you're going to neglect to travel, or you're going to neglect the flock that's placed under your care. And also some evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Pastors should know how to teach, but they're also responsible for being the leaders of the flock placed under their care, while a teacher, their job is just to teach. You understand? The leadership part they don't have to do, so they have to be under a pastor, but it's something at that location where they're teaching. So God's saying, I created all these. Why did he do it? He shows us to prepare God's people for works of service. Now, what he didn't say was to prepare each individual. Why do you say God's people? Because we're a body. You're going to see this as we go through this. So this Bible doesn't just teach me how to be this super duper individual Christian. It teaches me how to be a part of a super duper individual, which is Christ. That's why we make up the body of Christ. But I just play a part. And this Bible shows me how to play that part and how to encourage you to play your part. That's why it says to prepare God's people for works of service. Watch this. So that the body of Christ may be what? Built up until we all reach unity. That's why aren't we arguing this? And this is what I'm saying. This is the part we should be going to. Hey, church, what's going on? In faith. Why are there so many different types of faith out there? Why are there different minds? Because we don't really sit down and say, we need to dive into this Bible to make sure we're all on the same page because we're Christians. No, we go, well, your church believes and we believe and the other Christians over there believe. Beliefs are your faiths in action. So that means we have different faiths. How can we have unity in faith when there's so many different faiths? Once again, you're going to see later, faith comes from the word. The reason why there's so many different faiths is we've allowed people to add other things in which we start following the other things instead of the word. But that's what the Bible, the church is supposed to show, unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Okay, so the knowledge of the Son of God is not just knowing him as in knowing him. You ever see somebody that you've seen before? You don't know anything about him, but you know, yeah, I know him. You might say that, but no, you don't know him. This is an intimate relationship with. It's a husband and wife type of relationship with. You understand that? So when it says, so it's going to make us all reach unity in the faith. That's our true trust and belief in him and our knowledge, true relationship with him, and become mature. This process right now is so stagnant today. This is why it's so frustrating, because the churches aren't doing that. If you'll notice later, churches are catering more to our emotional well-being and not to our spiritual being as we play a part. It's catering more to what I feel and what I like and to my dreams and not to my part in this us playing the eternal while we live in the temporary. Church is catered today to our temporary, which is still temporary. And he says, if we did get to this part, after we mature, watch this, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What does that mean? It started off saying body of Christ. He wants to get to the part where we all form one body, functioning as one body. And remember, the head of that body is Christ. And we just function as one. To when others see us, they see Christ. They see this one body in movement, in action, in speaking, in dealing with things, not pieces of. You know what I mean? It's called a condition when a person's body doesn't function in the same way. You ever see people with their hands, you know, move and they, I think it's like ALS is one of the things. Parkinson's is another. And we have these different diseases and things out here that really dysfunction a person's body because the parts of the body are not reacting in sync. They're not all listening to the brain in the right way. And that's what he's letting us know we are as a body. He's saying this is the part that the church is responsible for. And then he says something here. Then he says then. Okay. Like I said, we got to do everything on this side before we could do get to the things on this side. And he's letting us understand that then we will no longer be infants. That's the first thing. Once again, you have people that have been saved forever and no growth. Why? Because the then didn't happen. We didn't do the things before the then. Tossed back and forth by waves. Have you ever been grounded in what the word said? Not grounded in your belief. Please know there's a difference at times. Sometimes we have a belief. Something I was brought up with. My parents may have told me something and I really believed it. And if the Bible showed me otherwise and I changed, praise God. That's a great thing. However, if I firmly believe what the Bible said, but somebody said something that intrigued me, kind of woke me up to what I wanted, that's dangerous. And that's why I toss back and forth. That's why some people believe the Bible and then they don't believe the Bible. And then they follow the Bible and then they stop following the Bible. And then they say it's about Christ and they know it's not about Christ. That's what he's saying. He was like, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves blown here and there by every wind of teaching. There's so much garbage out on the internet today and so much stuff that people are learning. And I see them doing this. We got this firm truth in front of us. And I still see people doing stuff. And you're like, what are you doing? Well, I just heard this. I just read this. Did you see this? And I'm talking about there are some interesting stories. But as a Christian, it's like, what does that have to do with me? I'm still going in the right path because I've always had the way. The only time we see an adjustment is when you miss something in the Bible. That's it. But if I hear of an adjustment due to you, you've been misled. We're going to talk about that. Okay. But as it goes on, like he said, he's like blown here and there by every wind of teaching by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, you understand? He's saying, so first thing that's going to stop is us being deceived and thrown back and forth and thrown all over the place, which is happening today. He says, instead, watch this, speaking the truth in love. And that's the first thing. What are we speaking? The truth. So I'm not going to speak some of the nonsense that I hear and I'm reading and all this other stuff. I'm going to speak things that are fully based on the word, and how I do it is going to be based on godly love. And there's a whole thing in that, just that little statement. You know what I mean? He was like, so while speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Remember I said earlier, he is the head of this body. And we got to grow up in him. It's the same thing as you see a baby. The baby goes through simple things just to learn how to function and make their hands work. You see them looking at their hands before they can learn how to grab something and before they can learn how to walk, and you watch them. That's them growing into, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. So then why are we so old and still babes? That's the question. And there's a problem because this word is not being added and distributed and applied the way it's supposed to. And then see, once we grow up in him, because what happens is when we grew as a body, we become 100% dependent on Christ. And then it says, from him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each part does its work. I have a work. You have a work. Others around the world who belong to this one body have a work. Not, let me see how many works I can get on my resume so God looks at me and say, man, that man is fabulous. He's telling the hand, why are you doing so much? I just need you to be a hand. Why are you doing all that other stuff? Y'all get this? Our purpose is just to listen to what the head is telling us to do. And that's a whole nother sermon on, you know, spiritual gifts and how we make up the body, but this is what the word shows us. So understanding the purpose and where the word comes from, let's dive into, first of all, how do we use this precious word? What is the correct way of using it? First of all, the Bible is spiritual and must be spiritually taught and understood. Do you understand that? Now, if I gave you a very inspiring word out the Bible, however, if I put it in Chinese writing, and I don't think anybody on the phone here knows what that writing is, and it's the same inspiring word and told you to read it, it would do absolutely nothing for you because you can't get it if you can't read Chinese, right? You'll sit there looking at it going, and it'll do nothing for you. It won't just automatically work. You need an interpreter in order to understand what it's saying, in order for you to reap the benefits of what it's saying. Y'all get this? Too many times you get these intellectuals, these emotionals, these other people outside using other means to take this spiritual book and present it to us. And every time I hear them talk intellectually, emotionally, culturally about this spiritual word, they're looking at it. And I'm saying we have done foolish things like this. We've even done foolish things like that in the Bible, where we'll look at the shapes of the word and go, well, that looks like a house, so that word must be in house. And it probably has nothing to do with a house. Am I right? And do you understand that? In which we will use our own. That's why, like I said, when we don't understand somebody's language, we speak louder. And they just now hear us loudly speaking what they don't understand. And it doesn't make any sense. But we do these foolish things without us recognizing, no, I need to first be in the right frame of mind in order to understand the spiritual word. I must be spiritual. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 2, 13 to 14, this is what we speak. He's making this very clear. Not in words taught us by human wisdom. Very important. Going back to what we saw in the beginning, this wasn't some brilliant man that went to some mountain and learned something and wrote down these brilliant words, and then we just want to follow his teachings. And I always got a little disturbed when people would call me as a pastor my teachings. It's not my teachings. I'm hoping I'm teaching God, his teachings. You understand that? Because it's not based on Keith's wisdom. You know, some people say, I know this guy, man, he's been through life and he's been through stuff. I want to read. He's like, you don't want that. You do not want that, because you're just going to get a flawed person's flawed answer on how they dealt in a flawed life. That's it. And he's going to give you his interpretation of success, and a lot of us will follow it. And you'll just go flawed your way and just fall in the same way. But when I have the answer to the way, that's what he's showing. So he's saying, first of all, this word is not taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. Watch what he says here, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Now, why is that so powerful? Because there are a bunch of things happening right now today that we call good that aren't good at all. And there's certain things that are very bad that we're fully accepting. And the only way you know that is if you're spiritual. By sight, you're sitting there going, but it looks good. It looks like it's working. You don't know how many times I'll get a Christian that'll go through something. Something will look like it turned out well. But see, I wouldn't know that until the Bible told me there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. So you understand this. If you don't have the spiritual lens to go, oh, that's bad. Like I said, going back into history, you look at smoking, you look at drinking, you look at certain things back then that was not only accepted, it was almost endorsed, pushed. You all must do it. Now we're trying to, how can we get people away from doing it? Because it's killing them. It's killing us. It's doing things to family. This is horrible. But at the time, we didn't see it. Everybody get this? And this is what he's saying. This word sometimes will tell us something. We won't like what it's telling us, even though it is the truth. At that moment, it won't seem like truth. This is why we ignore it, to our pain and to our destruction. That's why he says, words taught by the Spirit expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words. How it says, what it does, certain things that it does, hard for us to swallow. You'll hear me in a second say, as a human, I struggle with this. I'll read certain things, go, as a human, I struggle with this. That's why you don't want to hear Keith Smith's version. You want to hear me presenting what the word says, because that makes no sense to me. Do you understand that? Okay. And that's good. It makes no sense to me. It makes me fully depend on him. When I think it makes sense to me, I usually distort it or interpret it my way. That's why, you know, one of the a foolish statement that used to come out is everybody interprets the Bible in their own way. And that's the ones who are just misled, because they're taking it and distorting it. I'm going to keep distorting the word. We're going to talk about those people and what happens with those. Very dangerous. You don't want that old interpretation. There is one interpretation. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. But it goes on and says, the man, watch this, without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. That's the first thing. Okay. So now here's the deal. First of all, if I don't have the Spirit, if I'm not a Christian, the Bible is meaningless to me. So you can't take the Bible and try to force it on somebody in the world. So certain things the Bible, majority of things that the Bible tells us to do, we can't go and say, I'm going to get a government, get a group of people that are going to follow this word if they're not Christian. They got to be Christian. Secondly, if I am a Christian, but I'm not spiritual, same thing happens here because I'm not walking by the Spirit. See, there are a lot of Christians who are still intellectual, who still depend on their surroundings, so they're cultural, who still go off of how they feel, so they're emotional, or they just like being ignorant. They don't even touch the word. They just like to play in there, what I don't know. Oh, well, you understand that. And he's letting you know right here that the man without the Spirit, not being spiritually led, does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. And not only doesn't he accept the things that this Bible says, watch what it says, for they are foolishness to him. You're looking at it and going, what do you mean? That works. Why are you telling me no? That's wrong. He's saying, see, I think it's foolish. He cannot understand them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. That's where it's powerful. Unless you are led by the Spirit, you won't get it. You'll keep trying to interpret a spiritual word with all these other interpretations. And this is why we're where we're at. Instead of using the spiritual interpretation that he offers us. And this is why, Christian, as you live, you're doing what the mama bird does. You're kind of taking the food. And as you're following what God says in your words and your living, when you glorify God, you're ministering to others in a way that they're called. And then when they're called, as they ask to come to church, they're allowing the Spirit to work with them. And when I just invite them, which is nice, this is why a lot of times you'll get them to come. But if somebody really got into what we call the mature matters of the church, you'll go over those people's heads. But unfortunately, mature matters of church goes over some Christians' heads. Why? Because we haven't matured. And this is a very important part of us being in the Word, as we seen earlier, as we all mature. Hopefully you're getting this. But not only doesn't the person who's not spiritually led or who doesn't have the Spirit accept the word, things of the word of the Bible, because it's foolishness to him, he can't. That dialogue, he's looking at it going, I have no idea what it says. Absolutely. So I'm not going to benefit from it. I can walk around with it unless I get an interpreter. I don't get it and I can't get it. And that's the key. That's the biggest part of it. So the correct usage, first of all, is understanding it's spiritual. So I got to grow in spirituality. And it's a vicious cycle in which as I go into the word, I become spiritual, and I become spiritual so I can get the word. So I can become spiritual. And I get spiritual so I can get the word. And I get the word so I can become spiritual. And so on and so forth. And that's a process. I keep growing in that. More spiritual I become, more I understand the word. Now, if I go into the word, like I said, and use it just as a book, you're going to find yourself staying in one straight line. There'll be no maturity. You're allowing life to kick in. The key to this that's missing today is a thing called sound doctrine, and understand is a must. Okay? Sound doctrine. When he says in Titus 2:1, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. What he didn't say was make sure it's in the Bible, period. Now, why am I saying that? Because even false teachers and cults use portions of the Bible. You understand what I mean? But they use it not soundly. Okay? There's a Bible study I'm working on, and it's called It Complements, Not Contradicts. What I mean by that is a person reading the Bible will look at a verse here that says this one thing. Like there's a verse in the Bible that says they turn their plows into weapons. And then you read later on where it says they turn their weapons into plows. And somebody said, see, that's a contradictory. Now, hopefully, as Christians, we recognize speaking of two different times. They work in sync with each other. They complement each other. But if you don't know that, you're just going, see, I read this verse and it said this, and I read this verse and it said that. Oh, man, what a contradiction. Because I'm not using it soundly. We're going to see an example of soundly right now, where Jesus used this example in Matthew 4:6-7. He says, where Satan first came to him and says, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written. Now, here's what Satan's doing. Satan's using the Bible. It says, it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. He got that from Psalm 91:11-12. Okay. He's saying basically this is what's supposed to happen. And Jesus didn't go, no, you're wrong. No, that is actual scripture. He's absolutely right. But then he added the compliment to it. He added the compliment. Hey, Jesus answered him, it is also written. This is where it's powerful. Okay. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. And that's in Deuteronomy 6:16. Two totally different books, all in the one big book of the Bible. You understand that? And the references of even what they were pointing to wasn't to this just this topic of him throwing himself off of anything. He was saying, yep, if I were to fall and things were to happen to me, yep, the angels would have saved me. Absolutely. However, I'm not supposed to test that because of what it says here. You see how it's sound doctrine. If we study the Bible, you get a topic. And this is why I teach topical. You take it from different spots. And as you put it down, now you got the entire picture and the understanding of that topic. That's what makes it sound. You understand? If I just get a piece, I think as long as I believe, I'll receive what I ask because that's just a piece. And that's what so many Christians struggle with, because you have Christians going, but I'm standing and I'm believing. Amen. That's great. But are your motives right? Is it within his will? There's so many other factors. Is his word in you? And are you in him? Remember, there's certain prerequisites that go with that before I can get to the receive and believe. And that's why some of us, I can believe all I want. I'm not going to receive anything because I'm outside of all the other things because I'm not using sound doctrine. Sound, must be sound doctrine. Now understand, without sound doctrine, teachings become corrupt, distorted, and misleading. And this is why you have some, once again, who are misleading people with verses by themselves, because they didn't do it soundly. 1 Timothy 6:3-4 says, if anyone teaches false doctrine, so that's the first thing of doctrine that's not in the Bible, or they teach it wrong, watch this, and does not agree with to the sound instruction. So in other words, I just take big pieces, because am I trying to understand what the Bible is saying, or am I trying to get the Bible to support what I'm saying? Think about that. And this is why we have so many different churches. It's like me already building my house, and I want the Bible to support my house instead of me building my house to being supported or me supporting what the Bible says. Do you understand that? And it's showing us here that if he does not agree with sound instruction, watch how he breaks it down, of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching. So if it's not based on these, he is conceited and understands nothing. That's the first thing. So we already talked about the teacher. If the one teaches it in this way, non-sound doctrine or false doctrine, this one is already, he's stuck on himself. That's where the conceited comes in. He really thinks he got everything figured out. And you got a bunch of them. This is why a lot of them come out more puffed up than they do humble. You understand that? Because and we're actually taught as that as ministers. I'm a man of God. And then as we walk in, we're supposed to get our own space, and you're supposed to treat us as royalty and all. It was never meant to be that way. That was not meant. We are servants. Jesus even said that when he washed their feet. He said, okay, I am the leader. I'm the master, but I am here to serve. And we're supposed to follow that lead. But nope, the conceit comes in as, do you know I'm a man of God? So when I give you this, you're going to follow me? And it says, and he understands nothing. The minute he pulls away from God, understands not, he just wipes out anything he thinks he knows. And watch this. And he has an unhealthy interest in controversies, quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions. Now, what are those? Just random words? Well, no. And the thing he first hits on, the Greek word which is showing unhealthy interest, is these things are going to come up. Controversies, quarrels, envy, certain things we're not supposed to do. When he says unhealthy interest, it's like what's going on today. Nothing wrong with us getting knowledge. There's really nothing wrong with people watching TV. I know we always, TV is such a horrible thing and it's destroying our people. This whole world is a terrible thing and it's always been a terrible thing. But it only becomes terrible to us when we allow it to pollute us. Y'all get this? And when I get an interest that I start listening to stuff that the world says, and I'm more swayed by what the world says than by what the Bible says, that's an unhealthy interest. Think about that. That's why some people can listen to a song and it's just the song. And they know it's a worldly song and it does nothing. You get somebody else to listen to a song and you're like, you hear what he's speaking? He's speaking truth. Oh man, this guy got it. Man, this guy got it. You know what I mean? You hear them talk stuff and you're like, seriously? I didn't hear him say nothing out the Bible. What are you talking about? And we're listening to him because they hit a nerve and it becomes an unhealthy interest. And you hit things like controversies. groups that argue, and that's why political uproars and stuff like that between churches exist. Quarrels, which a Christian is not supposed to do, and which we're fighting with one another about words. You understand? We take a word, and this word, I think it means this, I think it means that. And he says, and then when we keep doing this, it results in envy, in which we keep going at it to get one up on each other. Strife, in which we're fighting against one another, and we allow this stuff to pull us from each other. Malicious talk, in which I'm saying stuff bad against you. I'm not trying to help you. I just want to hurt you because you hurt me, and then you're going to keep hurting me. And then evil suspicion, in which I'm just looking for how evil you are, and I start slandering you, and I start grabbing onto these things that are wrong. This is dangerous when we don't have sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is a must. That's why you must study the Bible and really grasp it. We're going to close on this last one here. In order for us to truly have this sound doctrine teaching and to grab what the word says, the word only works with total trust in God. Please understand that. When I say total trust in God, watch what this is in Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. I used to call it my favorite, but I don't like calling it my favorite because the whole Bible is powerful and it's a favorite. But it was a life-changing thing in the young age when I finally read this and the understanding came clear. And when it says, first of all, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the first part. That means trust me. So that means I'm going to take this word to do exactly what he says. Remember I said earlier when I said, have I told you today, two rights and a left? No matter what, I don't care what you've seen in front of you, you're going to take those two rights and a left, period. Saying this is the right way. That's trusting in the Lord. So I'm going in this word to get the answer in order for me to do it, period. That's me trusting in the Lord. The minute I go, I'm going in this word. Oh, but wait a minute. Did you hear what I saw on the news? Hey, did you just see that thing happen? Oh, no, my job just told me. Man, my minister just gave me this other thing. Oh, I just read this book. All this other stuff. While you have the answer and the instruction right there in front of you, you're being distracted by all these other things. But when I trust him, I don't care what you bring to me. I'm like, yeah, okay, maybe, but I'm still doing what the word says. I'm still following what the word says. He's saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then watch this, and lean not on your own understanding. That one is a very powerful one. Because in my understanding, that's why I said, or the word even shows us, he'll do things that make no sense. There are certain things in my life that I would have done differently. Now, knowing that there's only one way, let me rephrase that. There are things in my life that I would have done wrong. Y'all get this? But by my sight, I still say, God, what are you doing? There are certain paths that he's done in my life and he's still doing in my life that I'm sitting there and I'm just kind of throwing my arms up going, come on, God, please. Can we do it this way? But then there's the spiritual side, which I go, I trust you. Even though I feel in a way it looks to me, I trust you. And then what it makes me do is in all my ways, acknowledge him, my hair, my glasses, my clothes, what I watch, what I don't watch, my friends, where I'm going, where I'm not going, what I do, what I don't do. I check with him. I hear a lot of good advice on people. I always told people I'm an introvert. Okay. And I know people that are extroverts. My granddaughter, man, she's an extreme extrovert. And I remember I'm one of those that when I'm not around a lot of people, I'm more at comfort while she drives her crazy when she's not around a lot of people. And it's funny, that's something that exists and it's a fleshly thing. I cannot use my introvertness to ever get in the way of my spirituality. And understanding that, so I have to acknowledge him on how I deal with something, not on some introvert or some extrovert's instruction on what I need to do. Do you understand that? So I can't follow their ways on how they see it because they're going off their fleshly comfort, not off of the way. So I have to acknowledge him on my way, allow him to make my path straight, because I don't see the big picture. Do you understand that? When he says right, right, left, just trust me. I don't think I'm doing the right thing, but I am. I told you I had GPS one time. Me and Lisa went on a trip and we're driving and we're going up north and we've gone this way before. And this one time it took us off an exit. And we're like, why would it do this? But we just followed it. And, you know, we went early in the trip and we said, no big deal. And I remember we got to the place we need to on time in the end. And it was great. So it was all right. On the way home, we looked over on the street at that same spot where if we would have stayed straight, they were doing construction. So, of course, the thing saw something that we did not see. And of course, I'm not equating it to God, but I'm saying using that as an example where it said to go straight, turn, we turn. Even more important, I want the word to give me the way despite how I see it. And that's why he breaks it down. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't get puffed up in you thinking you got things together and you just have everything figured out. He was like, fear the Lord and shun evil. Fearing the Lord is, he said, trust him, just do what he said. But it looks like it's not working, but I'm doing what he says. How come even though I did what he says, everybody else is succeeding, I'm going to keep doing what he says? Because evil, why it says shun evil, is me doing, not doing what he said. You see how it comes together. Something to think about. Let's pray about that. And if you have any questions, ask them now. And then when God willing, we will continue on this next week. Any questions? All right. Praise God. Hopefully you've been blessed by this part of it. You're studying it. You're going to get an understanding of it. And hopefully we continue to grow in this and you'll be able to grasp even more this, the importance of this, this sacred thing that we all have access to, and especially in our country. Take advantage of this way and this sacred word that God has given us. Amen. All right. All right. Let us pray out. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, thank you so much, dear Lord, for your word. Thank you for your mercy, for your grace, and just giving us how these things work, for giving us this instruction book, this book of guide, this living and active word, giving us Christ to have that we can talk to, gain a true understanding, true guidance on what we're supposed to do. Help us, dear Lord, to continually get out of the way and just trust in you, just believe in you and follow what you say in all ways. Bless those who are struggling out there. Help us all to encourage within what your word tells us, not to encourage emotionally, dear God, but to make sure we're looking to you. Can't thank you enough, dear Lord, for the love and the guidance you continue to give us. Help us to keep staying in that, walking in your ways at all times. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you all.
Love you.